Hey everyone, this is a live Facebook interview that I did with Carl Boyce on Thanksgiving, the 26th of November. We had a couple of, we'll say, connection issues with the internet, and so there's a little bit of some problems here and there with some of the questions and some of the answers. So I apologize for that, but I figured I should release this as a podcast just in case anybody else out there was not able to catch it and wanted to hear it. So without further ado, here is the interview I did with Carl today.
I'm a real deal. I'll shoot your liver out and hand it to you.
Say anything dumb. Or do say something dumb. That could be fun too.
Love you.
Aww. I love you too. I love you too, Carl. That's so sweet of you. All right. We'll give just a couple seconds for people to join in and hang out if they want to. And if you're tuning in right away, everybody, give a share. Get this out there to your local pool groups if you'd like. Carl's going to be just blasting everybody today. If you saw his profile picture, he is ready to do some flipping off, and he's ready to have some fun.
Oh, yes.
You ready to make a fool of yourself? Ready to put the U.S. on blast? Put the Europe on blast? We're going to have fun. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Well, Carl, you've been in the bubble for, what, 6 hours? You ready to, like, punch a wall yet?
What time did I get here? Hold on. Six. No, I got here. I've been here 10 hours. Yeah, 10 hours I've been in the bubble.
How long has it felt like?
Do you know something? I won't lie. The day has gone so quick because I purposely left a lot of things for me to do today. So obviously, as you know, I scheduled this with myself. I've done a loose pool with Joey, Emily and Nick. I've had to do some editing. I've had to do loads of stuff. So the day has gone so quick.
And you've done it all from your underwear, from your beautiful office.
I have. I've got a T-shirt on and I've got European boxes, but I won't show you.
Maybe if we got enough, thumbs up or something in the comments, maybe you'll have to just, like, go streaking or something for the fans.
Should have got some boxes, actually.
What were you thinking?
It's always next year, Pat.
Always next year. So, of course, we got to start the interview off naturally where it exactly has to be. Huge, huge, huge shakeup in the last 24 hours with Justin Bergman being diagnosed with COVID, or maybe a more accurate way of putting it is not testing negative for COVID. So he was unfortunately left behind. Corey Duell taking his place. What is your response to that?
Well, first of all, I just want to start by saying happy Thanksgiving to all my American fans. And if you're not a fan, not happy Thanksgiving. So obviously very unfortunate for Justin Bergman. One of the best players in America, and to miss out the way he has done is a crying shame. And who knows, tomorrow maybe he won't be the only casualty. We will find out very soon.
Whoa, that's cryptic.
Well, we're all in the bubble, pal, at the minute. We're all sat here, you know, yeah. All the Americans, all the Europeans, captains, vice captains, we're all sat here, and tomorrow we will get results. So tomorrow, stay tuned on social media because maybe there could be more shakeups, but maybe we will all get negative results and we'll be fine. As long as as long as my five guys get negative,
that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, because I don't really want to be like maybe having to get my queue out. I'm a little bit busy for that.
Oh, that's a little bit of an insight there. Of course, the American side, we only had five players go. Is there a contingency plan that we want to talk about here?
No, I'm just joking. There's no way I'm getting my queue out. Are you crazy? Not on Martinelli am I getting?
Oh, come on. Aren't you, I might be wrong here, but you're like one of the winningest players in Moscone Cup history, if I'm not mistaken. You're not willing to risk that?
If I was playing, then yeah, but obviously I've been out of action and, you know, playing in that type of setup when you've not played any pool would be very daunting. I mean, it's daunting at the best of times, never mind when you could probably beat me, mate.
Well, let's not get carried away. Although I will say this, I made 3 balls in a row 4 days ago. One of them was on accident, but I still think it counts, right, when you're playing 9 ball?
Yeah, it definitely counts, probably.
Yes. Yes. I got a chance. I could beat the famous Carl. Who knows? I'm not putting anything on it. I might try you some in darts, though. And I know I got probably a significantly less chance of that. But I like darts. That's a fun game. You've been playing a lot of that.
Do you know something? At the start of lockdown in England in March, we had my proper lockdown. And I was playing a lot of darts. But the last sort of 2 months, maybe 3 months, because the weather's been okay, I've been golfing a lot, so the darts have been put away. However, I do believe we are having a European versus America darts competition, so I'm well up for that.
That one you'll pull out the darts for?
Yeah, I'll be back. So we've got the board in our...
How does the US have a... I can't imagine the US has a chance in that.
Do you know something? I played Shane in China a few years back. We was in China playing in a tournament. We went to the exhibitions, and he said he used to play some darts, so he started gambling. Obviously, I drilled him, right? But he was a good player. He was a good dart player.
Is he?
Yeah, I don't think he would be the best player on USA side, but he was pretty good, yeah.
Well, I'm trying to envision a situation where Sky is a good dart thrower, and I can't come up with that. Chris, I just can't see Chris being a good dart thrower. I could see Corey being a decent enough at darts for whatever reason. No. I don't know why.
No, I think maybe Billy might be the second man for a job for darts at all.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, as you were saying, Justin Berman, very, very unfortunate. I don't know, what can you say? The kid probably feels okay, and he's like, what the? And he's positive, right?
Yeah, there's not much you can do, I suppose, huh?
No, it's just, I just hope that, you know, he gets some kind of money. I don't know what's going on with the, you know, matchroom or the team or something. I think it's very unfortunate if, like, Corey would be taking all his money, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, who knows? Yeah, I mean, it all goes back, if I'm not mistaken, I think all the players, pretty much he got it from the Texas Open, I think is, although I'm not totally sure if Bergman was at that one.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you 3 weeks out, you got to hope that, I mean, this didn't happen on the European side, although tournaments aren't really open in Europe, so who really knows if they even had the opportunity, if they may have done that. But you got to expect that if you go to a big crowded room with a bunch of people, there's a chance to get COVID out of it.
If you dance with the devil, pal.
Yeah. So, so we can go off of that question. Of course, you and Alex have been prepping now for, you guys were named way back in January or February or whatever, that you guys were going to be the captains. You have been planning for a long time. This is a big shakeup. Does it affect your planning in any sort of way? I guess maybe a more direct way of asking it is, did you guys do a lot of your planning for specific matchups, or did you do a lot of your planning for just the general, this is what we need to do at this time?
Yeah, we've just bashed our heads together, and we feel like we've come up with, you know, a format what suits our players and us as a team. And obviously there's no crowd. I actually said in another interview today, I think that's going to make the guys a little bit more nervous because, you know, when the crowd kind of drowns a lot of stuff out, even though it can be very, like, intimidating. It just, you know, you can kind of, like, hide out there, as crazy as that sounds, because it's so noisy and, you know, you don't really see anybody because it's that busy. But now, obviously, with the players lurking by and the captains, I think the players are going to feel more heat. But, you know, it's a team match, and I'm sure people listening to this You know, when you're playing on your Tuesday or Wednesday night at league and you've got your buddies watching you and the back arm shaking a bit, you know, it's the same for the pros and, you know, it's the Moscone Cup and, you know, it's live on telly and on social media and all these other ways you can watch it. And this will probably be the most watched Moscone Cup of all time. And all the guys know this. And, yeah, no, it's just going to be weird. I can't wait to see the arena. I can't wait to see how it looks because I'm used to seeing it with, you know, the tiered seating. So hopefully get a negative test and then I can start roaming the building and see what's going on and, you know, and get a feel of what's going on and, you know, speak to the guys. And we're just looking forward to tomorrow. Hopefully we've all got negative results. We can all meet up in the practice room. And for us, that's when it starts then, because at the minute, we don't know who's going to be there.
Yeah. So I think one thing that you said there is actually really interesting, and I wouldn't mind touching on it. You kind of said with the crowd, it's almost easier just to kind of exist in the room, right? I think it's because there's just a ton of ambience. I mean, you hear dozens of Europe's, you hear lots of USA, you hear lots of drunk fans trying to make really funny jokes, and most of them crash on their face. But the idea is there's a lot of stimulus around you, and it's really hard to center in on any of them specifically. It allows you to really just kind of block it all out and, you know, just kind of play your game. Do you think that this is going to benefit Europe, or do you think it's going to benefit more the US, is just having this more or less a level playing field of where you're starting from?
I think a few years ago it would have benefited the US guys just because, you know, Europe went on that big long streak of victory, and I think the crowd did play a big part. It was quite, you know, I remember when I played, you know, some of the things that was getting shouted from the crowd was ruthless, and it put the US guys under the gun. But in London, you know, it was so busy, and, you know,
uh-oh, I still got you, Carl.
The year before, a lot of the US fans decided to,
I think I just lost you for about 10 seconds there.
Oh, really? I don't know where he was up to then.
Sorry about that.
I was just rambling on. Will they still heard me, or do I need to go again?
Yeah, start it over. Start it over if you would. Sorry about that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I think I think once upon a time, maybe it would have suited the Americans just because they lost so many cups on the spin. But I think because they won in London with the big crowd, and then in Vegas last year, it was so rowdy and loud and noisy there. And I think because America won in London, I think a lot more fans decided to show up, and they all come to Vegas. And it felt like the Moscone Cup was in Europe, because for years, European fans have gone there, and, you know, the Brits have gone, and everyone's like net friends, and now it's like a bit of a holiday each year. It's like a tradition where they always go, the fans. And I just think because they did win in London and then they won the way they did in Vegas, I don't think anyone's got like a benefit from the big no crowd. I think it's just a level playing field. And I don't know, it's going to be really unusual. I mean, a lot of pool tournaments, pool players play with zero crowd anyway. But obviously, the Moscone Cup has never been that case. But I suppose, you know, when we walk into the arena and get, you know, see what we've done with it, you've got to try and take that in as quick as you can, because it's going to be unique to everybody, right?
Yeah, for sure. So I think when people ask me this question, the same question reverse, I kind of say, when you have so many more variables, meaning the crowd, I mean, you never know. I mean, how many times, especially in London last year, when, you know, Sky would be down on a shot and he'd have to get up off the shot because, you know, a rowdy Europe fan would scream something right when he's about to shoot his shot. And, yeah, you know, there's nothing more famous than in the Moscone Cup, I think, than hearing Nigel go, "Settle down, please, settle down." It's the funniest line. But when you kind of remove all of those variables, I think it really segregates out just the better pool. And I don't think there's too many arguments that are going to be on paper, at least, that Team Europe has the better players, they have the better lineup. Is that something that you guys are kind of looking towards as well?
No, definitely not. I mean, you know, the guys, you know, we've lost the last two Cups, so, you know, we're definitely going into this feeling like we're the underdogs, to be fair, because winning breeds confidence. And, you know, we've got Fedor, who's never played in a Cup. Unfortunately, as we've said, there's no crowd, so he's not going to experience that. But he's still going to experience the Moscone buzz, you know. It's a team event. You know, the way the matches go in the short races, it's like, are you going to win this point? Are you going to lose it? It's so up and down, and you never know what's going to happen. And then Kacchi's obviously played in two, and he's not won a Cup yet. But he's a young guy. He's got so much to give to the world of pool. You know, he's a good looking lad. He's great. He's a great image for the game of pool. And I think he's just been a little bit unlucky, really. He's not quite done it in the doubles, but me and Alex feel like we've got the right formula for that, so I think we're going to see the best of Kacchi this year. And yeah, just to be fair, I've been a fan of the Moscone even before I got into American pool. I've watched it for years, and I just can't wait to watch it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, let's talk about that, because this is obviously the first year you've been a coach. You played in your first one. I'm probably going to get this wrong. Was it 2008 that you played your first?
2010,
you played your first one, and you played a total of four. So between, basically, you said you were watching before you even got into American pool playing it. How many Moscones do you think you've missed in your career?
What, watching?
Yeah. Since the first time you saw your first one, how many do you think you've missed?
Do you know, that's such a good question, because I kind of watch stuff and then forget me. I've got like a bad memory, but I can't really put a finger on like a specific. I remember the Davis Strickland, you know, like, and I'll tell you something else I remember about. I remember when Mika played Mike Davis, and Mika did something a little bit crazy at the end of the match, and Mike Davis ended up winning, and it was such a. I don't know if it was for the match actually, but it was late on. I remember them type of things, but. When I look back, I played in 2010. That was my first year, and that was in London, York Hall. And there was 350 fans, but it was such a small venue, and it was a low ceiling. And the noise was deafening. It was, like, scary. And then in 2011, I was, like, probably alcoholic. 2012, I went to watch. And then 13, 14, 15, I played. And then I quit playing at the beginning of 16. Didn't see the one in 16. And then 17 and 18, I went there to work the event. 17, 18, 19, sorry. And then now I'm back. So 10 years, it's just been a roller coaster, really. But, you know, as I said, not only have I played in it, which is a bit surreal, and obviously now I'm part of, you know, the captaincy and doing all that kind of thing. I've just always enjoyed watching it. I like watching. It's a fast-paced game, nine ball, and you know, it's easy to watch. It's easy on the eye, and it's just good fun. You just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So so that's the heart of the question. Is you've now been at least a vice captain. You haven't been the head captain, but you've been the vice captain. You've been involved in commentary. You've done interviews at the side of the table. You've been a fan. You've been a player. You've had pretty much every role in the Moscone Cup. If there's anybody more qualified, pretty much you to be the vice captain at this point, you'd be kind of tough to find that person. Which has been your favorite role and why?
I mean, playing, right? It's great to play. It's just a shame. Like the rest of the pool season, I felt it was just so bad and worthy of like. You know, life passing me by, hence the decision. I kind of quit, and I always said, can I not just play in the match for the multi-sport events? But obviously you can't do that. So when I stopped playing, I got, Emily asked me if I'd go down and do some work, and I ended up doing some punditry. So I kind of got my wish in the end, because all I do now is show up to the matching events. But without doubt, playing was such a great buzz, and being a part of the team, But, you know, I enjoy the commentary as well, to be fair. I've enjoyed doing that, and hopefully I'll enjoy being a part of the captaincy as well this week.
Yeah, I think I can ask you by about this time next week as to whether or not you're enjoying the captaincy. I think we'll have a range of answers possible.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a different role, but, you know, the bottom line is you hope that you pick the right team, the right order, and everything like that, but, you know, the bottom line, we're not holding the cue, the guys are holding the cue, just like when I used to play, Johan used to pick the team and say the right things, but you got to go out there and pop the balls, nobody else. So, I mean, it's just time the York guys, you know, we've lost the last two, I think it's time these guys stood up to the plate and, you know, put a performance in there.
Yeah. So this is your first year as the vice captain. You have the ability to work with Alex Lely, of course, and you have played under Johan in the past. What have you learned from those two thus far that's going to make you a better vice captain and potentially maybe a captain in the future?
To be fair, when I was in Vegas last year, I was like kind of on the wind up. I was joking with everyone, like I always am.
Yeah. At the press conference.
Yeah, I was just like saying, oh yeah, vice captain, or this, but captain, sorry. And then, you know, I was joking. I was like, come on, whatever. And then we got a phone call saying, oh, Alex Lely's captain, and you're going to be vice. So I was like, okay. And then when I've seen, like, the things Alex has been doing and preparing, I thought, fuck, I have no chance of being captain. I'd have completely messed that role up. No two ways about it. So I've learned a lot. And, you know, if I... Do you know, I think we deserve to be captain and vice regardless of the result anyway, because I want a crowd. I want to go to Vegas and feel the crowd and the energy, you know. Yeah, we've got a Moscow Cup, but it's not going to be quite the same. We all know that. It's great for everyone who can watch it in these, like, crazy times, and it's, you know, something for everyone to watch and enjoy, but we deserve another shot. Definitely in Vegas, without a doubt. Going there with the crowd there that we had last year would be amazing. But obviously, if we win, we've got the job, so it's all good.
Yeah, of course, I just canceled my flights last week, finally, to go to London. I just, like, once you cancel them, it's just like, it's real, you're not going anymore, and the depression can sink in at that point. So I pushed it off as long as I could, finally had to cancel them. Do you think, of course, there is if you go back to 2018... I was in the stands for that, and I would want to say we had maybe, I could be conservative or I could, like, exaggerate, but I'll just try to find somewhere in the middle. I'm going to say that the U.S. had about 3-6% of that crowd.
Yeah.
The home field advantage for the Europeans is real. You guys show up, you show out, and once you come to Vegas, it was close to 50-50 last year. What do you think?
I think more U.S., to be fair.
You think so? So maybe 60-40, something like that?
Yeah, probably 60-40, but, I mean, I suppose, when I look back, I suppose US fans have gone, but they didn't really have the voice. European fans, you know, they like shouting, they like that bit, but it's all about fun. You know, some Americans might think it's a bit, like, arrogant or obnoxious, but that's just the way it might come across. But the bottom line is, it's just all fun games and, you know, people go there, they like to have a good time, they like to have a drink, they're in Vegas or London, wherever, and, you know, at the end of the day, when the result's over, and, you know, certainly the last 2 years when the Americans have won, all the European fans there have wanted pictures with the players and sign this, sign that, and, you know, the respect is there, but when it's going on, people just want to have a good time and sing, dance and poke a little fun at the guys.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, it is a fun event, and I do want to cover that here in a couple seconds. The question, I guess, becomes: it seems like the U.S. does not travel quite as well to the European side as the Europeans do to here. But do you feel like because of COVID, you guys are losing out on a home field advantage and really kind of setting maybe not yourself up for failure, but making your job a little bit harder because you don't have that crowd to help you out any?
No, not really. I mean, just quickly going back, because I like to waffle on a bit and get lost in my train of thought. But going back, I think because Europe went on that crazy winning streak, I think US fans just thought, oh, we're going to lose. What's the point? But because they've won the last two, I actually think a lot more Americans would have come to this one because it becomes more of an event. You know, we was in danger of this just becoming a bit of a joke once upon a time. But now, you know, US guys, Skyler, Bergman, Billy, you can go down the roster now and you're actually thinking, well, yeah, they're going to do all right now. It's where, when I was playing, it was kind of like a lot we were going to win. You know, we were going there not really even thinking about it. We just thought we can't lose just because how bad US was preparing and how they looked as a team and all this. But I think in the next few years, certainly in Europe, I think we will certainly see more US fans come and make it the great spectacle of what it is. But going back to your original question, I think because we've lost the last two, I just don't think it really matters whether the fans are there or not. I think we've got to just zone in. And as I said, the guys have got to, like, we've got to show up, you know. Once you start losing twos, threes and fours on the track, you get, yes, a little bit worried, right? And, you know, we've got a strong side on paper this year. You know, we've got Jason, Albin, excuse me, Filler, Katche and Fedor's our rookies, a world champion. But something about a rookie in the Moscone Cup, I've always enjoyed it, just seeing how it... Because in pool over the year, you know, Fedor's won the World Nineball Championship. In the pool world, if you follow pool, you know how good this kid is. But we've not seen him in this environment. So how good is this kid? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the same for Chris. I was shocked they picked him, but at the end of the day, they've seen something in him that, you know, I've never seen the guy play. I just thought he was going to go with like Tyler Steyer, but Jeremy's, you know, he's not a stupid guy. He knows this game inside and out, so they've picked him. And I, you know, everyone has to start somewhere. Everyone's a rookie at some point, so I can't wait to just sit back and watch it. If we can handle it or if we can't, you know, we will see.
Yeah. So the choice to choose Chris over Tyler, of course. Back in 2018, when Johan picked Tyler, the internet kind of erupted as well, and everybody was, oh, that's a terrible pick, blah, blah, blah. A lot of it was, who the heck is Tyler Steyer, right? Yeah. And he comes out right away, and he makes a statement by, I'm going to say, not only does he make a statement, I think he's the reason the U.S. won that year. They're down 2-0. He's down 2-0 against Niels, pulls the comeback, gets it to 2-1. They win out the day, and the U.S. ends up going into day 3-2, as opposed to, you know, who knows from there. You're down 3-0. That's pretty tough action. Of course, Chris is going to be able to have that same opportunity, potentially. But then you have Filler coming into a team that's just, I mean, absolutely stacked. You have world champions. You have major titles all over the place. And everyone knows who Fedor is. Everybody knows exactly what he is. Everybody knows what he's bringing to the table. And while he's a rookie, he has a level of pressure attached to him just because he is who he is and everybody knows how good he is. As a captain, would you rather have a rookie coming in that has these base of expectations already, or somebody who's kind of coming in like a Chris where 50% of the questions are, is he ready? And the other 50% of the questions are, who is this guy?
I mean, it's a good question, but to be honest, because I've played in all the events worldwide, like the World Nine Ball Championships that Fedor won, I've played in that version. And I've also played in 27 when Matrim had the World Nine Ball. And even though they both had the same name, World Nine Ball, the tournaments were worlds apart. You know, the one in Qatar was quite quiet. But, you know, he closed out that tournament beating, like, some of the world's greatest players. You know, he beat Chang Zhongli in the final, so the kid's got heart. You know, to win the World Nine Ball Championship, regardless of where it is, you've got to have bottle and heart. But he's never played in a Moscone. When a young guy, when you know, Fad.
Now for the best part of the podcast. We as pool players have been whining for years that we have no outside money in all of pool. This is our opportunity. This is the final week of the opportunity for us to get a long-term sponsor to the podcast. If you wanted to get yourself a lawnmower 3.0 or to get yourself the Manscaped package that Demetrius just got a couple of days ago, this is your opportunity, and it will help support the future of the Cue It Up podcast. Do not wait. This is your moment. Demetrius, tell us about it. You love it, right?
So I have not had a chance to put this to use. I just opened the box today. But I've got it here, and you can listen to that nice buzz. This thing is this is unbelievable. So the presentation is just stunning. I opened the box. I've got the lawnmower 3.0 with its little stand and charger. And then I've got these fluid bottles that I'm not really sure I want to go into depth what they are. But anyway, they get the job done with clear instructions. And it looks really sleek. It's waterproof. It's rechargeable. And I'll tell you what, you know, for people that are, you know, of course, we appreciate the Patreon. I mean, that's a huge step for the people that support the podcast. But I do want to say, for people that are hesitant to, like, you know, make a big donation on a recurring basis, this is a way that you can support the podcast with a one-time purchase where you actually get something that you can use and benefit from. So everybody needs a Manscaped. And so I would say, you know, it's Christmas coming up. We need how many people do we need to order these to keep the sponsorship going, Nate?
10.
Just 10?
We need 10.
We just need 10 people.
Because Christmas is coming up. Come on.
So if you've been, I don't even want to consider the alternatives of what you might have been using for this type of grooming, but, you know, come on, man. It's 2020. You need to get the best of the industry. These guys are specialized. This is like the Revo shaft. This thing is almost carbon fiber. I have a feeling this is dent resistant.
Scissors ain't working anymore.
Yeah, this company has the dead nuts on genital grooming. I'm telling you what, it's the dead nuts.
Hey, it's a package for a package.
Ooh, Rob, I think you just one-upped me. That was pretty good right there. Of course, let's go into some of the reads.
When the phone stopped ringing the other day, remember I told you about that? The other day, actually, the doorbell rang.
The door? Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and it was a young lady wanted to share my lawnmower 3.0.
She wanted to try it out, huh? There you go.
With me. And I told her I was married and that wasn't going to be possible. But.
Well, of course, let's go into our reads. This Manscaped product is now available in the UK. All of the UK people, Chris Alexander, it is available for you now, too. This is the third generation trimmer featuring a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents, which I promise you, you are definitely going to want to limit those as much as you possibly can. This is a great way of doing it. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last 90 minutes so you can have a longer shave. The waterproof technology allows you to groom in the shower. And one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. We've upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget it, this sweet charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. If you listen to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself.
Oh, yeah, and this can be used. The lawnmower 3.0 can be used while scuba diving.
I never thought about that, but that is absolutely true, Rob. You can use this scuba diving. If you would like to try it scuba diving, or just in the shower, or just at home, you can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code QITUP at manscaped.com.
Uh-oh. Carl, you here still? Uh-oh, we will try to get Carl back. 1 second. There we are. Emily, can't get you guys hooked up with high-speed internet at your hotel? What is this?
To be fair, I've just done a loose pool for like 30 minutes and it never dropped one, so I actually need you, Tom.
Well, I have 300 megabytes of internet fiber. It probably isn't me. Who knows? It could be. So, do you want to carry on?
Yeah, where was we?
You were saying that Fedor was winning the nine ball, or the world nine ball.
The expectation. So at the end of the day, you know, Fedor, who's obviously won the world nine ball championships, and, you know, Chris has probably never even played in the world nine ball championships at the end of the day. But you don't have to have a stat CV to perform well in the Moscone, because it's so unique and so different. But one thing's for certain, Fedor Gorse, you know, he plays pool because of the Moscone. You know, it would have been a dream of his to compete and represent Europe and play in the Moscone Cup. And, you know, it's time for the guys to show up. You know, we've lost the last two. Nobody looks back at how it was won, right? But it's going to be a special event. No fans, 2020 COVID edition. So you've got to embrace it.
Yeah, for sure. So, of course, we start out on Tuesday. Tuesday is the first day, December 1st. And we have the team. So you're going to have all 10 players. And then, of course, without going into strategy, what kind of start is Europe looking to get, as far as how are we going to get the team out there? Do we want to throw, you know, a rookie like Fedor right out to the Wolves right away, or do we want to kind of ease him in, get him maybe a doubles action with a proven veteran like Albin or Jason? Is there any sort of insight that we can look to as fans to look forward to?
Oh, I think Alex might sack me if I start giving him time. And actually, he's in the room next to me, so they could probably hear me.
Oh, Alex just texted me. Knock it off with those questions.
Oh, really?
Totally, just kidding.
Probably asleep. No, I mean, obviously, I can't go, you know, too far into it, but there's certainly been lengthy discussions about how we feel, you know, the players should, you know, match up and all these type of things. That's all I'll say. So, but interesting to see what America's going to do. Obviously, the loss of Bergman, they will have had a plan in place. Things, you know, people might say, oh, Corey's just as good or whatever, and, you know, maybe Corey will come and play lights out, but we've still got to, but we're talking about the Moscone Cup.
Yeah, the race to five.
Yeah, just it's a different game. But maybe they've got to change things up, but, you know, at the end of the day, last year, it was the Sherryman and Skyler show, let's not forget that.
Yeah, for sure. So let's take a little bit of a step back to last year now. Of course, you kind of made the joke earlier that you were the, for lack of a better term, let's say the ceremonial vice captain. And it's I guess if you pay attention to Matchroom Pool and the Moscone Cup more specifically, there's not really a big question as to why Alex and you are the captains this year. Without throwing the former captain under the bus, do you think that last year was a roster that could have been won with? I think watching it from the stands, I see Shane and Sky getting opportunities that I just felt like Europe players weren't kind of put themselves, they weren't set up for success, maybe is what I should say. Looking back at last year, did you see any coaching deficiencies that could have been addressed?
It was well documented. Alex Zakis didn't. Are we there? He went again, then.
Yep, we're here. You're good.
Right. Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, Alex Zakis didn't play quite as good as he can. Niels weren't really at the races. So it was tough, weren't it? And I've been there. I've played in arenas when you're not quite feeling it, and it's tough. We've seen Shane over the years not play great pool in the Moscone. You know, Mr. You know, America, you know, five-time US Open champion. So if he struggles in that arena, it just shows him how tough it can be. But I don't know. It's just, as I said before, I just want to get negative test pal. I'm sat here. I've been locked down since March, like the rest of the world. Right? I'm sat here now. What time is it? It's 20 to 10 at night. I want to wake up tomorrow, right? Hopefully get a text or whatever happens, say you're negative, and then go down for my vegan breakfast, yeah? And just have a walk around, and then it starts. That is when the Moscone Cup starts for me. We can go in the players' room, all the lads are there, we can put the practice in, get the right doubles practice going, who we want to match up. and have a laugh. You've got to have a laugh, Pat, because you never know when your time's up.
Yeah. So I think that's a good place to take it from there. So, of course, you have not had the ability to work not only in person with any of your players, but you haven't even had the opportunity to get them in the same room to work together as a team. You now have, I guess, 5 days to try to shove an entire year's worth of training into. What are some of the things that you guys are going to be focusing on as a team to try to get your team ready for the first match on the 1st?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, we've got 5 days. Not 5 full days because Matchroom will want us to do media stuff and things like that. So the practice in the practice room has got to be quality. You can't just be like, yeah, you just go and hit some balls and all that. And the Moscone Cup is so much emphasis on the doubles play. So we'll be focusing on that and getting the shot clock dialed in because, you know, a lot of people don't realise the shot clock. You know, some guys you don't really affect because you play naturally quick. Some guys are play a little bit slower. But whatever speed you play at, you've got to be aware of that shot clock. And I think it's 30 seconds this year, so you know that's fast. You've got to get your eyes on that.
That's Earl Strickland territory.
Yeah, you've got to be like in doubles play. You've got to understand if you've used your extension. You've got to make sure you tell him your partner if he's got 15 seconds left and all these little things, you know, just little things like that. If it's a jump shot and it's round the other end of the table, take all your cues with you and just throw them to the side. And
yeah.
Just all these little things, really. There's not much else you can really work on. The guys are professional pool players. At the end of the day, we've all won tournaments. Everyone in the American team have won tournaments and they all prepare how they prepare, so... You know, we would like to think all 10 guys have come here well practiced and, you know, ready for the practice room, ready for battle.
Yeah. If anybody here that's watching along with this has any questions, feel free to put them in the comments. We will ask them to Carl, assuming they're PG-13. Don't ask to see his boxers. He probably won't. Oh, maybe he would show those. Who knows? Feeling a little frisky?
If you subscribe to my YouTube channel, I'll show you the boxers.
The YouTube channel, the OnlyFans channel.
OnlyFans.
So, of course, we can move on from there. Again, of course, in COVID 2020, we don't really have the opportunity to do a lot of the challenge matches that they would do before. And I've always wondered why they always gave the U.S. one, but they never gave the European team one. But you guys were actually going to get a challenge match this year to kind of prep you, I guess, for... And, of course, you've partaken against the U.S. team a couple of times, once in Europe and, I believe, once in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Because you just have the heart of a champion, even if you haven't hit a ball in 4 years, you know?
No, I think the challenge matches were great for America because it was all about, you know, trying to just get, you know, you play one event a year, what's team, so, and because they were struggling for many years, it was a case of, oh, let's try and get them in a match so we get a feel of it. But I think because the Europeans have just been used to winning, and even the young guys coming through, you know, if they watched the Moscow only 6 or 7 years ago, you know, like Joshua, 6 or 7 years ago, was about 3 years old or something, right? So, at the end of the day, he will have seen the guys winning. So, when he was a part of the team, you just become used to, like, the winning mentality, even though you might never have played in the team. But, I mean, yeah, I played when it was a captain and a captain. I mean, years ago, it was a player who was the captain. Now we've got two captains. It's just getting bigger and bigger each year, and... You know, like, stay tuned because we've got the press conference. We never used to have that. That's a good idea. And then we've got the face-offs, all good fun and games. And, you know, it's growing. It's getting bigger and bigger every single year. Yeah.
And you hinted earlier that Matchroom is going to have you do some media stuff. So here is a question, I guess, from Eric Ritter. What are you guys going to be doing all weekend? And really, I guess what I want to expand that to is what does your actual media look like for the rest of the weekend as well?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we've got the press conference. We've got more loose pool interviews. Oh, we've got for the first time ever on Sunday, I believe it is. The post has been out there. Go to Matchroom Facebook page, Matchroom Pool Facebook page. It'll all be on there. But I think Sunday we're doing the live workout, which is a neat idea, very cool. You know, like you see the UFC fighters doing the live workout. So it's a similar thing to that. So the cameras will come in and we'll set the guys up with drills and stuff like that. And you can just see, you know, the drills that we give Team Europe, and obviously JJ and Joey will do the same for America. That's going to be fun, and that's like a new addition. So lots of things to look forward to if you're a fan of the Moscow. You know, back in the day, you used to just watch it when it started. Now there's things happening 3, 4, 5 days before in the big lead-up to it. So, you know, it's great now. There's so much for fans to watch and get involved with and all that.
Yep. Jimbo wants to know if you're finally going to buy a round now.
No.
Yeah, Jim, when you're a legend like Carl, you don't have to, right? What's your practice routine to get yourself ready just before going on for a match? This is from Rob Holt.
I think everybody's different. So just to give you a quick example, somebody like Niels, when he was in the team and I was there, he'd like to play on his own, and kind of the other guys would sort of just wander out the room and do their own thing because they knew he wanted table time, you know, just to get his arm going. I was a little bit different. I'd kind of just hit a few balls and I'd be more like just sit down and relax and just more live in the moment type. So I think each individual person is different, really.
Yeah. From Claire, my friend Claire. Sad to see they had to cancel the Spots and Stripes, or the warm-up match. Spots and Stripes was ready to host again.
Yeah, it's a shame, but unfortunately, you know, with what's going on this year, I think we should just be happy we're going to get to watch some people.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way of putting it. From Paco Pipkow, I don't know if I pronounced that right. What do you think of the mullets? And are those going to be gone, by the way?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've not seen them up close and personal. I've seen a few little snippets on the videos the guys have done. One thing's for certain, if they've brought the mullet, they are lucky there's no crowd. Hey, they would have honestly drilled.
Oh, I think Jim would have had a lot of fun. I think the rowdy crowd would have had a lot of fun with those.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's a trend thing, and maybe you would have seen a lot of Europeans order mullets online. Just
yeah, I was going to say, it seems like a Joe Dirt costume.
I mean, in 2010, my first year, I had a little bit of a mullet, but it was like European-style cutting, small, cool mullet, not like the Skyler mullet.
So, not the hillbilly mullet.
No, but whatever, yeah. It's his hand.
Yeah. So, I guess that was all the questions it seems like everybody has out there. We'll get you out on one more question. Oh, Jim Telfer said he had mullet songs ready to go.
Yeah, I knew he'd be up to summer. One thing is for sure. Next year in Vegas, it goes off. Forget this year's, right? It's on, no fans. Next year, you best get your tickets booked for next year, because the way this lockdown's going, it's probably going to be summer next year with a bit of luck before things kind of get back to normal. So people will be gagging. Vegas, it goes off.
Yeah. So, all right, we will ask you one more question on our way out here. What is your prediction for not only day one, but overall? So day one and overall.
I think day one, we win 3-2. And I think overall we win 11-7. And I am so glad you are a Joshua Filler fan with your German flag just there.
Of course. So, perfect question. Who do you think takes the MVP?
I mean, to be fair, I've never really paid much attention to the MVP because I think it's a bit of bullshit, to be honest. Because, you know, certain guys are always going to play more matches, and the way the point system works, everyone really gets a fair crack at it. Obviously, you've got fans' choice, so that's an extra singles match for somebody, so they have a more chance of winning points. So I know the media and the fans talk about it, but I think as players, even if you win the MVP, I don't think from the players' point of view, we don't really care about it. That's my interpretation of it. So I don't know. I don't really care.
Do you have any prediction on who is going to win the fans' choice, or who do you think is going to be the fans' choice match?
Yeah,
I would say it has to be Shane probably and Filler, just from all the drama last year. I would suspect, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, no disrespect to anybody who plays pool slow, but from my experience of growing up throughout the pool industry, people like to watch the guys who play quick. It's just the way it is. And then obviously you've like Joshua, Jason, obviously it's in the UK. Will Jason get more votes? I don't know. I probably think it's going to be Filler and Shane. However, I think Scout, the way he's played the last 2 years, and yeah, I don't know.
Yep. All right. Well, Claire says, get us the dates and we will book. I can second that because I'm ready to book already, I think. And
I'm certain the dates will be released straight after this year's event.
Perfect. And then Jim says, get him tickets. Well, get me some tickets too, if you would. Jim and I can sit together. We could be friends. How much fun would that be, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like I said, next year in Vegas, it will be crazy because, you know, people have been locked away for 18 months, right?
Yeah. I'm thinking to the arena last year. There's not a lot. So the one great thing about the Alley Pally was there was a lot of room to expand. I think they were supposed to have 2,500 seats this year. I mean, that's a lot of seats, right? Maybe there's more rooms that I don't know about at Mandalay, but there's I think they had about 2,000 seats and they were pretty much packed. And there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of room to expand in there. As far as more seating.
To be fair, it's not something I really... I mean, I just remember last year thinking, wow, this is a big arena, you know, and it was full, and I thought, wow, but I didn't really take any... I didn't pay any attention to the height of the ceiling and all that. I was too busy getting drunk, probably. But, no, I mean,
the priorities, at least, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, maybe, like you said, maybe... You know, more people will want to go because of the situation everyone around the world's been in. So
yeah.
Maybe it could be 5,000 seats.
I think let's just rent out the new Las Vegas Raiders Stadium and just pack it full of 80,000 screaming pool fans.
Listen, can you imagine one deck, a table being in the middle of a stadium like that and it'd be 80,000 people?
Maybe then Ronnie O'Sullivan won't say that he looks down on pool players.
Listen, forget Ronnie O'Sullivan, right? Because at the end of the day, yeah, that's like Roger Federer going on about freaking badminton play. Who cares? You know, it's a different sport. He's class a lot. Yeah. He does, you know, just leave him to it.
He's the GOAT. He can say whatever he wants. It creates more headlines, if nothing else. Gets more attention. That's what Emily says.
Well, listen, went to America to do a TV show, right? So,
yeah. All right. Well, I think we could probably wrap this up there, unless you have anything else you'd like to say to the fans.
No, just everyone stay safe. Happy Thanksgiving. And tune in over the next few days for, you know, everything that's going to get released on social media. As I said, we've got the press conference, the live workout, loads of other fun stuff, and... get ready for the show. Let's go.
I'm sold in next Tuesday. I know where I'm going to be. I'm hosting a watching party too. We are going to be. Yeah.
And let's just hope tomorrow when everyone wakes up, everybody who has made the journey to the Rico Arena is negative. Otherwise, the shit's about to hit the roof.
Let's hear pool cue case. Let's see what you got over there.
To be fair, it's in the car.
Perfect. All right. Well, thanks, Carl. It's always a pleasure. I'll not quite be rooting for you, but I'll be rooting for your sadness.
German players.
I'll be rooting for Joshua, apparently.
Okay. Good to speak to you, guy.
Yep. All right. Cheers, Carl.
See you later.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks again for listening. If you've liked what you've heard and you want to contribute to the future content that will be made, consider joining the podcast's Patreon at www.patreon.com/queueitup. Becoming a Patreon of the podcast will help to create all of the future content that the podcast will have. Special shout out to Dave Peters, Aaron Taylor, Pete Silsby, Morgan Lupton, Ben Young, Robert Miller, Andy Morse, and Bill Pelham for your generous contributions to the podcast's Patreon. If you ever need any more information on what the Patreon system is or how you can contribute outside of the Patreon, please reach out to the podcast or Nate himself. If you would like to contribute to the podcast for free, consider sharing any podcast or the podcast page on Facebook itself. Also, leaving a review and a rating if you listen through iTunes.
We had a couple of, we'll say, connection issues with the internet.
We'll be back soon with another episode of the Queue It Up podcast.
So there's a little bit of some problems here and there with some of the questions and some of the answers. So I apologize for that, but I figured I should release this as a podcast just in case anybody else out there was not able to catch it and wanted to hear it. So without further ado, here is the interview I did with Carl today.